This meeting of the House and Labor Commission Committees will come to order at 325 in room 124. Today is Wednesday, February 27th. The House members that are present today are Representative Josephson, Representative Millette, Representative Sadler, myself, Representative Reingold, Vice Chair. And let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. I also want to recognize Nancy Hemingway, our recording secretary, Conrad Jackson, our committee aide, and Betsy Dorn with the LIO. Thank you very much. Representative Olson is excused today, but as vice chair of the committee, I will be chairing today's meeting. And out of respect to all committee members, I'm asking that everyone please turn off your cell phones. If it does go off, I wouldn't say bring donuts. I would either say homemade cookies or fresh fruit if the phone goes off. So, okay. Today we have one bill on the agenda. It is House...
Excuse me. We're not getting any recording. If you could hold just...
Okay. One moment. You doing that easy?
Fed resources moving for crisps. Apples.
We'll go through... the legislation, Madam Chair. So, Madam Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 50 will provide the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation housing that is owned or financed by the corporation. It will allow for multi-use opportunities within larger scale housing complexes. And one of the reasons that I am intrigued by this bill, and it was brought to my attention by AHFC and also Representative Guerra, is that I think that it will provide more opportunities for housing and for vibrancy in our neighborhoods, because instead of simply providing a housing opportunity, we now then will allow for commercial use within the property. And I think that as you know, we all come from different parts of the state, our neighborhoods take on different characteristics. And I think that one of the things that this bill will provide is for more opportunities within those housing opportunities. For example, that could be shopping or commercial opportunities, child care, things like that. And so I hope that the committee likes this bill. I certainly think that it provides opportunities for housing in throughout our state that would benefit Alaskans as a whole. And I wanted to point out that in the letters of support for the bill, you will find a letter from Catholic Social Services, an individual named Glenn Gellert. The Cook Inlet Housing Association has written in support of the bill, and St. Vincent de Paul, and also the Park Place Condominium Association. And with that, Madam Chair, I was hoping you would allow my aide, Josh, to run through the bill for the committee members.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Joshua Walton. I'm an aide to Representative Costello, sponsor of the bill. I'd like to thank the committee for hearing the bill and for the time. With the committee's indulgence, Madam Chair, I will just run through briefly what the bill does. The bill is 6 pages long, but that's a little bit deceptive because the bill doesn't really start going until page 5, right at the very bottom. Where you'll see the first change that the bill makes, and that is the change at the heart of this legislation. It authorizes the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to permit certain commercial uses in a multi-unit residential housing development owned or financed by the corporation. Currently, the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation is limited in the properties that or in the types of activities that it can permit in the properties that it finances to strictly residential use. This bill would allow AHSC to take advantage of a national trend in affordable housing, which provides for many cities across the country are moving towards affordable housing models that include multi-use, where you have a multi-unit residential property that also has some commercial space that therefore allows some particular types of commercial and business activities on that premises. So the first change that this legislation would make would be to authorize that type of use. The rest of the changes in the bill elaborate upon what those certain specified uses can be. Primarily, if we look at Section 3 of the bill, it specifies that the corporation may authorize commercial use in multi-unit residential housing development it owns or finances. If the commercial use, it doesn't fall under a list of prohibited categories, which I'll mention in a moment, and if the total of the commercial uses doesn't occupy more than a percentage of the space in that development, that percentage being determined by the corporation's board of directors and through regulation. And just to make it clear, there are, as I alluded to, certain types of businesses that would not be a good fit for this sort of affordable housing development. Because it has a residential focus, it's very important that the types of businesses that are allowed are family-friendly businesses. And for that reason, the bill specifies that charitable gaming is not permitted, nor is adult entertainment, nor would be bars. Restaurants, including restaurants that serve alcohol, would potentially be permitted under this legislation. Facilities for substance abuse treatment or for facilities for tobacco sales manufacturing, also considered to not be particularly family friendly and therefore not a good fit for this sort of development. That's what the bill does in a nutshell. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions the committee may have. I'd also like to point out that we do have Stacy Schubert with the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation available to answer questions if you ask me a question that I'm unable to answer, which for those of you who know me may find that rather likely.
Okay. Well, first I would like to let the record reflect that Representative Heron has joined us. And thank you for the presentation. And are there any questions? Okay. All right. Well, it looks like you're off the hook easy right now. But I would like to invite Stacy Schubert up to testify, if that's all right, unless you have anything further. Do you have anything further?
I don't. Thank you very much, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to testify. With your permission, I'll stay here.
Absolutely.
To answer whatever questions.
Okay. Great. Okay. Please state your name and affiliation for the records.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Stacy Schubert, and I'm the Director of Government Relations and Public Affairs for Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Alaska Housing Finance Corporation has been in business in Alaska seeking to provide safe, quality, and affordable housing to Alaskans for more than 40 years. As a state agency, we have worked in partnership with the private sector to lead the way in quality construction, including energy efficiency measures, and to provide home mortgage loans to qualified Alaskans. Due to the recession plaguing the United States, low interest rates have meant Alaskans holding HFC home loans have refinanced their mortgages, and they are leaving our portfolio. Through an operational improvement effort, HFC has considered ways of growing our asset base. The ability to finance commercial space alongside housing offers us a new opportunity to help meet challenges facing our communities. Land and its prices are at a premium in communities. From Anchorage to Juneau, Kodiak, Unalaska, Nome, Barrow, and points in between, we know that accessing affordable housing continues to be a barrier for many Alaskans. The average two-bedroom unit rent adjusted for utilities in Anchorage is $1,265. In Fairbanks, it's $1,103, and in Kenai, $889 per month. Additionally, as the number one provider of public housing in the state, our waiting list currently has more than 4,000 families seeking financial assistance. We appreciate this legislation being brought forward, and if it becomes law, it will allow AHFC to finance commercial space as a component of the multifamily financing we currently offer. AHFC's multifamily loan program has historically performed well and remains an important tool for construction of new, safe, quality, and affordable multi-unit housing. This bill could strengthen AHFC's toolbox. It doesn't allow AHFC to finance a standalone retail store. But if that retail store was within a residential building, the store could augment the financial attractiveness for that residential building. We believe this bill is significant because there continues to be a tremendous need for more affordable housing statewide. Consumer demand across the country is trending toward mixed-use development with combined retail and commercial space. It offers developers an opportunity to seek a single loan for a project that may include housing in a thrift store, housing in a restaurant or coffee shop, or housing in support of senior services, for example. Housing developers support the concept because no longer do projects have to pencil independently. Revenues from the commercial space may now assist with affordability of the new residences, or vice versa. Developers further support the bill because their costs are reduced. This kind of financing streamlines the loan process, eliminating the need for separate loans, separate appraisals, and the like. And tenants benefit by having amenities located literally where they live. Functionally, a developer who would like to access financing for a multifamily project with commercial space will approach HFC's lending department and apply for the loan. As good stewards of the state's resources, projects will be considered based on their financial feasibility. Subject to certain dollar thresholds, loans will be considered by our board of directors for approval. To this end, HFC does not consider itself in direct competition with other lending institutions, and we remain a trusted partner. The borrower is free to shop for more favorable terms at other institutions, and in fact, those institutions may also have the opportunity or the ability to come directly to AHFC where we could then purchase the loan. A final note, AHFC's profits have historically benefited Alaskans in the form of dividends to the state, totaling nearly $2 billion since the 1990s. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I actually do have a question. Thank you. That was actually very, very informative. Great testimony. What my question is as I was wondering, and it sounds like to the second of the last paragraph, you stated that you don't consider yourself in direct competition with underlending institutions. I'm just wondering if any loan institution or the banking association or anything has weighed in on this in any way.
To my knowledge, they have not, Madam Chair.
Okay. Do you see any issues at all with them? You say you don't. You don't believe that they would be in direct competition, so.
Madam Chair, we consulted, I consulted earlier today with our multifamily lending officer, and we do not believe, again, that there is any competition. In fact, we believe it strengthens the partnership because it offers those institutions the ability to come to us and sell the loan after they may originate it and generate some revenue in that manner.
Excellent. Are there any other questions on the committee? Because we have more.
Yes.
Do you have a question?
I do.
Okay, please, Representative Joseph.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. On subsection, section 3A2, it says the total of all commercial use does not occupy more than a percentage of the space. The corporation is determined as consistent. What might that be, or is that just... What might that be?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, that was a question that we asked ourselves during the drafting of the bill, and it's an interesting question because if you were to have a space, for example, where the bottom portion of the facility could be retail and the top could be residential, the limit there might be 50%, and that may be a reasonable number, but we would like to have the flexibility to have our board decide. Maybe that means it's only 2 units on top, or it could be 20 units on top, and so each project might be different, and so we appreciate this flexibility in the legislation.
Okay. And since I have this feeling that we might not need a whole lot of time today, the inlet towers. When I've been there, it's sort of an elegant foyer. It's a nice hotel. I'm just curious, what's going on there?
Representative Josephson, through the chair again, that facility has been financed by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. It was financed to a gentleman named Bob Gross and his wife Melody. They have turned that former hotel, into an apartment complex with the restaurant operating downstairs. We do have Eric Havelock on the phone to respond and perhaps provide a more timely update on that particular project, if you would like.
I think we'll go ahead and I'll give it back to the chair. We'll move on and see what kind of time we have.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to go ahead, since you've mentioned this, we do have Jim McCall, Dan Fowski, Mark Romick, and Eric Havelock, all from Alaska Housing Finance Corp. online.
to answer questions. They have not requested to testify, but we thank them for being available. Also, we have Shirley Cote, I hope I said that correctly, from Anchorage. She's the Director of Alcohol Beverage Control Board. So I wanted to let the committee know that they are available. Also, I'd like to go ahead and recognize Dan Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple questions for Ms. Schubert, if I could. How much demand is there for multifamily housing plus the commercial space?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, at this particular point in time, we are aware of two projects who might like to proceed with residential housing that would include some component of commercial space. One of those projects being here in Juneau and the other being in Anchorage.
Is that, if a follow-up, is that a trend outside of Europe? In Anchorage, we've had the Title 21 rewrite, and there's been much attention given to mixed-use areas and neighborhoods trying to get commercial and residential space located together. Is the trend towards moderate and low-income housing towards the more commercial availables?
Representative Sadler, again, through the chair, yes, absolutely. There is a trend nationally for a combination of mixed-use developments.
Okay. With your indulgence, a new line of questioning, if I could. Is this designed to favor or allow new construction or repurposing existing structures, or is there any preference one way or the other?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, it is my understanding that it's primarily focused at new construction. However, to be completely sure, I would like to pose that question to Eric Havelock, who I believe is on the phone.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, for the record, this is Eric Havelock. I'm the multifamily underwriting supervisor for Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Would you kindly repeat the question, please?
Certainly, Mr. Havelock. My question was, is this bill aimed at allowing HFC to finance new construction, greenfields, or to repurpose existing buildings?
Thank you, Representative Sadler. Through the chair, it's an open loan program, so Alaska Housing relies on the private sector to bring forward projects that meet the requirements of that loan program, and so it's suitable for all those purposes.
There's no favoritism. Okay, thank you very much. How about no questions?
Representative Herron.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Schubert, looks like a really good bill, but what was the catalyst or the genesis of this?
Representative Herron, through the chair, the catalyst is a combination of things, really. Again, AHFC going through its operational improvement plan and looking at opportunities for new loan programs and products that might be attractive to Alaskans. The other was the Inlet Tower Hotel in Anchorage and their transition into an apartment building and wanting the ability to be able to finance the restaurant that operates there as well, along with the national trend toward this kind of mixed-use development.
Madam Chair, one more question.
Please.
In the sectional, the last bullet point is, of course, about cigarettes. I don't support cigarettes, but it's interesting that it's in here. And it's in the proposed legislation. Where's the genesis of that?
Representative Herron, through the chair, I'd like to turn to the bill sponsor to respond to that question. Okay. Go ahead, Josh.
Thank you. Once again, for the record, Josh Walton, aide to Representative Costello, the bill sponsor. The genesis of this particular provision was acknowledging that what we're speaking to is a residential facility where people are actually living. And looking to locate businesses there that are more conducive, fit better with being a building where folks are actually living. It's not something where it simply seems like to make the locations more family friendly and avoiding running into particular problems the sale of adult beverages should be restricted in adult tobacco products, shouldn't be so readily available to a residential housing unit right there on the premises. That's not to say that there couldn't be something next door, but on the premises it seemed like a good way to avoid potential issues coming down the line.
Thank you for putting it on the record. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I'd also like to recognize there's Jennifer LaRoe. She's the housing director at St. Vincent de Paul Society. She is not asked to testify, but she is online. Is there Representative Millett?
Okay. Thank you, Josh, Stacey, for being here. So can I just say, so we can have a restaurant with a bar with a liquor license, but we can't sell tobacco. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Millett, yes, that would be correct. The restaurant, it's considered that the restaurant serves a different purpose than a location that sells tobacco, generally.
Through the chair, Josh, I've been to Inlet Tower several times in Mix, and Mix has not only a restaurant, but it also has a bar section in it. So I guess if we're going to pick and choose the vices that people use, I guess that's the only thing that makes me uncomfortable about this bill. I'm not a big tobacco supporter, but I am for liberty and freedom, and if we're going to have one sale of alcohol, which has a sin tax, and tobacco, which has a sin tax, I don't understand why we are picking and choosing cigarette alcohol over cigarette. That would be my question to you, and we just consider maybe we should, although I'm not a big advocate and I'm a big sponsor of the Cancer Society, I just think that that might be one of the downsides of the bill. But I'm a supporter of the bill. I like the idea. That's something I just wanted us all to be aware of, that you know, we're passing judgment on one group of people over another group of people.
Representative Casella, would you like to respond?
Madam Chair, if we could have the representative from the ABC board comment on that question, I think that would shed some light on the issue.
Shirley, are you online?
Yes, Madam Chair, I am on the line.
Can you go ahead and do your name properly and your affiliation, please?
Yes, my name is Shirley Cote, C-O-T-E, with an accent, and I am the director for the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board.
Thank you. Go ahead.
And I, through the chair, Representative Millett, I'm not positive I totally understand your question. If you wouldn't mind repeating it, I think that maybe I'd have a better understanding. I do understand the whole concept of having a restaurant eating place license on location as opposed to other types of licenses, and with the restaurant eating place premises being also designated as a restaurant, and when licensed premises are designated with a restaurant designation permit, they are allowed to do other things that other restaurants may not be able to do without that permit.
To the chair, sure, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking why we're picking that that we feel that it's appropriate to have a alcohol be sold in a family establishment, but not tobacco. It was more of a philosophical question, that why we're precluding people the legal sale of tobacco and the legal sale of alcohol. Why are we picking one vice over another vice and disallowing one? And I'm not promoting either one. I'm just saying that it just seems like an odd addition to a bill where you're trying to introduce commerce or another way of having a community, and it basically tells smokers you can't buy, but if you're a drinker, you could live here. I mean, I just, in all fairness, I just had to ask the question.
Through the chair, Representative Millett, restaurant eating place licenses don't generally sell tobacco products. They sell the meals, and they sell the beer and wine. So restaurant eating place licenses don't allow spirits either. So they're restricted to the beer and wine, and they don't sell the cigarettes. So I don't know if that's really an adequate answer or not, but that's the best I can do. I'm sorry.
Representative Casella, would you like to respond?
Thank you. And through the chair, Representative Millett, I think to answer your question about why we included the cigarettes or tobacco products as being one of the activities prohibited for the business is simply that we envision that there would be a lot of children, and so just that access to the tobacco products was not something that that I felt that, you know, we wanted to provide and make it easy for young people to, you know, to purchase tobacco products. So that was the reason for the inclusion in the bill.
Representative Herron?
Well, Madam Chair, I appreciate what my colleague from Abbott Loop has started here. It's an interesting conversation. And maybe she picked up on what I asked was, we're putting this in statute. And so I guess the question to the sponsor is I understand this is residential housing. And in that residential housing, there could be a 7-Eleven. There could be a convenience store. And so I appreciate the cigarette prohibition, but I would think that the condominium association or whatever it is, they could do that. And that's in their right, and I would support it. But I'm a little concerned about we're going to put in statutes that under this provision, that under this particular proposal, that we have singled out tobacco products, which I like that idea. But I'm more concerned about its level. Okay, so if we have this small convenience store in this, like the Inlet Tower, and it's for the convenience of those residents, so you can go downstairs and you can buy a candy bar. But what happens when should we treat Red Bull the same way? And so I think couldn't we just let the condominium association have this prohibition and let them make the choice rather than us making it for them?
Representative Costello?
Through the chair, Representative Herron. I mean, I appreciate, and also Representative Millett, the business-friendly, free market basis for the question, and certainly this bill is before the committee, and it's in your purview now to look at it, and if that's the will of the committee, to remove that section based on what you said about it being in a 7-Eleven, I would not have a problem with that.
I'm going to go ahead and indulge right now as also a member of this committee. I actually like it in there. I think it's very, very important to have it in there. There's a lot of studies that have been done on secondhand smoke. I mean, drinking, you know, might affect you once you get in a car, but not right there in the restaurant. The smoke penetrates throughout the whole entire room. Also, the fire hazards that have been associated with and our emphasis on you know, trying to get kids, you know, off smoking, and also the ban in our city on smoking in restaurants. I mean, to me, it's 100% logical, and it's compliance with a lot of initiatives that have been started. So I'm going to indulge in my, you know, view, but I'm welcome to listen, and, you know, as of the will of the body, I need to acknowledge him first. Get set, Representative Sadler, and then
thank
Representative Millett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure if this question is better directed towards the sponsor or to Ms. Schubert, but I've got a couple questions just about the what is considered an attractive business in this kind of mixed use, and a couple quick follow-ups. I don't know if the sponsor is the best answer for this, or what kind of businesses do best in a mixed-use residential commercial setup?
If I could ask Ms. Schubert to join us and answer that, that would be my preference.
Thank you.
And Chair Rembold, if I could also turn to my lifeline, Eric Kavanaugh.
If you could just state your name so we get it recorded properly in your affiliation, that would be helpful. Mm-hmm.
This is Stacey Schubert for the record, Madam Chair.
For the record, this is Eric Havelock with Alaska Housing Finance. I believe the question was what types of businesses are compatible with the residential housing facility. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Essentially, what we see is businesses that support some of the activities of the tenants. In other words, 7-Eleven is a good example, but a beauty salon or a small convenience facility that allows the residents of the rental apartments to receive those items without having to leave the structure.
Okay. And is there... you answered one of my other questions. Is there a more favorable ratio of square footage dedicated to residential versus commercial? Is there some outside limit you want to make limited?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, at this point, as Ms. Schubert had indicated, our board of directors would be in a position to make that on a case-by-case analysis. As I indicated earlier, the private sector comes to us with these projects, and then we see how they fit within our box of tools, if you will, to try to provide the financing package for it.
Thank you. And one more follow-up, if I may. From a financing standpoint, the attractiveness of a deal for a bank or for yourself, does limiting the range of products available for sale or the kind of business that can be conducted in the commercial area, does that make the financing less attractive by any significant amount to someone financing this kind of deal?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, what we look at is the marketability of the rental units. Essentially, we want to make sure that individuals want to live in the units because then they pay the rent, and that's how we get the loan repaid.
Yeah, I guess the logical question would be, does limiting the range of commercial activity make it less attractive for someone to rent there?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, that is a possibility. What the corporation does is get a market study on the proposal as well as a property appraisal, and we rely on those third-party experts to answer that question for us.
And that was an appraisal. What was the first thing you mentioned?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, a market study that looks at how those units and that use would be compatible with folks wanting to live in those rental units.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Adler.
Representative Millett.
Thank you. This is for Stacey or your lifelines. In any of the buildings that people live in that Alaska Housing Finance Corporation finances, do you prohibit smoking? Private residential.
Through the chair, Representative Millett, no. Alaska Housing Finance Corporation does not currently prohibit smoking in our public housing units.
Follow-up?
Yes.
So my next question would be, if we're going to put this in statute for multi-use dwellings in a residential, multi-use residential home, are we starting a trend and are we setting a precedent that will be the new, one of the new requirements for lending for HFCs that is a smoke-free facility?
Through the chair, this is Stacey Schubert again, and I would like to either turn to Mr. Fauske or Mr. Havelock.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Dan Fauske, CEO of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Can you hear me?
Can.
Yes, we can.
We're currently in the process. One of the issues that I've always had, especially on the public housing side, is if they want them to be non-smoking, then the federal government should mandate it. I'm not here to advocate in support of smoking. The problem I've always had is that it is, at the end of the day, it's someone's home. And when you go into that front door, and whether it's an apartment or not, there's been this issue, and our board has taken it up a couple times as to what authority do we have to go into the living quarters of someone's individual home and they're paying their rent. Now, I know smoking is a controversial issue. We've run into problems where so are people's cooking habits as to what they decide they want to prepare for dinner. But smoking has taken a priority in the issue, and what we're working it out with our board now is if the board wants to come back and make it mandatory that there be no smoking in any of the units that we currently operate and or in conjunction with HUD. I hope that helps. It's a murky area. It's people's rights versus the rights of others in the building, and I certainly understand it. And I would, if I was a betting man, I would say that we're probably heading towards a non-smoking policy in publicly owned or public housing units. Now, in this particular case, if I may indulge the board just for a few more minutes, this isn't necessarily going to be public housing. This could be very well be privately owned units where it is up to the developer and those, or a condominium association, if you will, or a rental board, if you will, or of tenants to help make some of those decisions. We're a secondary lender. We loan the money based on the criteria that we have, and we do our best not to involve ourselves or interfere in the activities of a private business. So kind of a little bit different animal there. I hope that helps.
Follow up? Yes. I was just thinking how nice it would be to have a nice cigar shop at the bottom of a multi-use condominium. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Representative Millett, and cognac would be nice with that cigar. Just kidding, but I agree with you.
Follow-up. Representative Rumble, yes. Co-chair. I guess I'm just worried if we're going to start a trend on making judgments on what people can buy and where they can buy it, when they can buy it. On it should be if we're going to set a precedent, let's do it. Let's just not make it in multi-home dwellings, because I'm sure even smokers can agree smoking's not good for you. But it just seems odd that we would start down this trend right now, that when we lend money to a private sector, that we're limiting their ability to have commerce on the premises. That's all.
Okay. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would point out again, this is not whether someone can smoke in the residence, but it's whether they can sell tobacco and so forth. And frankly, I guess my limited understanding of business would indicate that if the more limitations you do put on the conditions of what's being financed, the less attractive it would be. And certainly let that lead that up to the market, the condominium association, you know, which is the voice of the members. That might be something you might want to consider getting amended down the line.
All right. I'm going to indulge myself for just a moment. I'm going to have to respond to some of this. This is families. This is housing units. And making tobacco accessible, you know, to me is I really, I'm going to reiterate, I really like the fact that this is in here. These are housing units. And using and selling are two totally different things in my mind, to reiterate mm-hmm. What Representative Sadler said. But I'm going to go ahead and allow Representative Herron, please.
Well, I guess I don't want to belabor the point or be accused of picking pepper flakes out of mud pies, but I guess, Madam Chair, I have to comment is that I don't like cigarettes. I don't like being around them. But we're going to put it in statute. And so going back to an earlier remark is you believe it's a good idea. But what about child obesity? So the next thing is to cut down on child obesity, we're not going to sell candy bars in that 7-Eleven. See, that's the threshold that we're considering. And given the comments by the sponsor that this is something we should look at carefully, I would take that into consideration. And then I would assume that the chair is going to vote on this when he returns, or it could move out today. But Madam Chair, I'm worried about that threshold.
Okay, well, I'm going to point out two things at this time. The difference between eating candy bars and drinking alcohol or sodas is that they impact the person directly. Cigarettes impact everyone around them. And so, to me, there's a very clear distinction. However, I would entertain a friendly amendment to this bill if anyone wants to do that. I guess we should probably continue public testimony first. I may be a little bit out of line here, but Representative Josephson.
Sure. I'd like to see this bill move today. My sense of this is, thank you, Madam Chair, is that this is sort of reflective of this sort of contemporary culture where we see at the Seattle airport and I think at the Anchorage airport sort of boutique wine cellars. And beer and wine, although dangerous if abused, are perceived in a different way than they once were. Tobacco is losing, frankly, the fight for acceptability. And I don't really have much hardship with this. And I think those of us from Anchorage or Eagle River, we're sort of familiar with this because it's a municipal ordinance. So it's or at least the use of it is in a public place. So none of it seems very striking to us.
Question?
We're talking about the sale of tobacco, not the use of tobacco. We're talking about the sale of restricting commerce. And like Representative Sadler was pointing out, will it make it less attractive if someone can't have a cigar shop in there? And not that it's going to be bad for the kids, not that they're going to smoke them in the hallways, but what I'm saying is we're restricting the ability, and we're now setting guidelines of what we can sell and what we can't sell that are legal products in one of our state-financed buildings. So if we're going to start a trend, I guess that's my point, we're going to start a trend that we are not going to allow legal commerce i.e. tobacco, to be sold in state building, state finance building, then I just want to know if that's the road we're going down. This isn't about smoking's good or bad, or bad for kids or good for kids, but it is talking about the state in statute saying that we are not going to allow tobacco products to be sold in a multi-use dwelling that we're financing. It is a restriction that I just want to be clear that we all know we're going down that road. So if we restrict tobacco today, next week are we going to restrict alcohol, which is also legal? That's all I want to make clear, is that we all understand it's not about smoking, what's bad for you, who the kids are around. It's about the sale of a product that is legal in a state-financed building. I'm not debating whether tobacco is good or bad. It's, do we want to go down that road of limiting what we are legally able to sell in state-financed buildings? That's my only point.
Yeah. Okay. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask the sponsor, just to speak a little bit to that, it's on page 6, line 9 through 18, just that section B, the kind of places and sidebars and what kind of activity would be allowed. I'm sorry, what kind of activity for which HFC would be banned from financing. Can you give, is that a full range of the things you considered? Is that all of them? Were there more you left out? Or just speak to how important that is to the bill.
Well, certainly, thank you. And through the Chair, Representative Sadler, I do think that when a public entity is going to be involved, such as the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, that we do have a responsibility to address issues that you don't in the private sector with the full free market working on its own. And we certainly do already restrict certain areas. We have residential zoning, we have business zoning. What we're moving into now are areas that are mixed, and so we do have to ask these questions. I think as you go down the list, that's fairly clear. I would not like, you know, to see charitable gaming, adult entertainment, I don't think is appropriate. A liquor store, we're asking that a liquor store not be found there. A substance abuse treatment center or a business related to that. And then you come to the sale, the manufacture, sale, transfer, storage of cigarettes or tobacco products. Certainly when you offer a bill, it's, you know, it's an idea that's brought forward, and this bill was brought forward with several members' views and along with the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and I now feel that it's the committee's, it's in your purview to suggest if you would like changes to that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would like to make a comment, and then we also still have public testimony open, and I've got another person online that I'd like to respond, but to address personally, what I'm concerned, and with all due respect, I appreciate the comments, and I think it's important that we look at those trends. My concern is the ability to turn a profit as well. I mean, if we are going to be renting these units out and smoking is on the decrease, I know personally, if there was a whole lot of smoking going on and cigarettes, I would look at it as possibly an area that I'm not gonna rent out. So I think we need to look at the other, you know, the other part of the pie, if we want to turn a profit, you know, in these areas, you know, the impacts of families. This is housing. It's not like, you know, a shopping center. These are housing units, and I think that distinction needs to be made here. But if you guys don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and take someone who's been waiting online for quite some time for testimony right now. Okay, this is Francis Marin from Anchorage Park Place Condo Association. Would you like to testify?
Yes, thank you. My name is Francis Marin, and I've been asked to testify on behalf of the Park Place Condo Association. We're a large condo association that's located, like, directly behind the building, and they've asked me to read a resolution that the board passed during a recent meeting in support of this bill, and specifically as it relates to the full-service restaurant located at the Inlet Tower. A resolution supporting a full-service restaurant located at the Inlet Tower. Whereas Inlet Tower has made substantial improvements and renovations to its mixed-use facilities, including providing affordable and market housing with convenient neighborhood restaurants, whereas the adopted Anchorage 2020 Comprehensive Plan calls for a more progressive mixture of commercial and residential land uses to enhance the municipality's downtown and adjacent neighborhoods, whereas the adopted Anchorage 2020 Comprehensive Plan also encourages more affordable residential housing options to ensure a sustainable, vibrant, and economically viable downtown core for the municipal region, whereas the existing restaurant, the Inlet Tower, is a valuable community amenity which serves as a pleasant gathering place for the neighborhood residents, enhancing a sense of community, whereas the Park Place Condominium Association is the closest neighbor to the Inlet Tower and is a 98-unit community of residents that greatly benefit from a renovated, well-managed, secure, and economically successful mixed-use facility at the Inlet Tower. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Park Place Condominium Association supports the mixed-use facilities offered at the Inlet Tower, including the full-service restaurant with liquor license. Be it further resolved, the Park Place Condominium Association requests any necessary assistance of the South Addition Community Council, Municipal Assemblyperson Patrick Flynn, State Representative Les Guerra, State Senator Johnny Ellis, and the AHSC CEO Dan Foskey to support the continuing development of the mixed-use project at Inlet Tower, including the operation of a full-service restaurant. This is ratified at the regular December 19, 2012 meeting of the Park Place Condo Association Board of Directors. Thank you for your time, and I'll entertain any questions if anyone has some.
I don't see any questions, but thank you for your testimony. I'm going to ask if there's anyone else in the room that would like to testify, including Representative Guerra. Is there any other further comments in the room? Okay, is there anybody online? Any other? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close out public testimony right now and open it for discussion at the committee level right now. And I'm open to committee suggestions at this time.
Madam Chair.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a result of our conversation, I have some question about the need or the advisability of including paragraph 5, which would restrict sale of manufactured tobacco or sales of tobacco and cigarettes. And frankly, as I look at it, the charitable gaming, I don't know if a bingo hall or a pull tab or rippy stand would be an incompatible or an unadvisable associated use in a residential area. And again, I don't want to dilute or change the sponsor's intent of this, and I don't want to micromanage things, but I think the more flexibility this provision would have, the better for the marketability of the financing.
Madam Chair.
Representative Herron.
The concern I have about giving that one, the cigarette provision, into the statutes is just a concern, but I think that it maybe needs to be thought about a little bit more. So I'm amenable to working with a sponsor that changes could happen in her committee, the next committee of referral. I just don't want to jump to a conclusion without more time, and I concur with my friend across the table here is that I don't want to hold up the bill either.
Okay. Okay. So I guess I will entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I would move that we move House Bill 50 version / uniform from the committee with individual recommendations, and I don't have a fiscal note. Is there an attached fiscal note? The attached fiscal note, which is zero.
Without objection, so moved. We're going to go ahead and right now we are stopping the committee meeting at 4:14. Thank you. Adjourning.